So please do open your Bibles to those words that we read in Philippians chapter 4. The verses which I'd like us to look at this evening is Philippians 4, 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7. So let me just read those two verses again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, in 2013, there were 8.2 million cases of anxiety in the UK. And in America, there were 40 million adult Americans. That's 18.1% of the population suffer from an anxiety disorder. 18.1% of America, 40 million adults suffer with an anxiety disorder. Of course, these statistics are the people who have gone to seek help, gone to the doctor and have been diagnosed either with tablets or whatever it might be. They've been diagnosed with a problem. If we were to look at everybody who had suffered from anxiety, it would be that. It would be everyone. Everyone at some point in their lives have suffered from anxiety. It might not be to the point where you need to go and seek a doctor's help, but we've all suffered from anxiety, maybe depression in our lives. Anxiety can be completely crippling. It takes over. It can be all-encompassing. You can't think about anything else if you're struggling with this. Your mind starts to work overtime. It almost works through the worst-case scenarios. You think, well, if that happened, this will happen, then that will happen, and if that happens, that will happen. You do four or five steps ahead. You are thinking the worst-case scenarios. You have this horrible feeling deep inside, in your heart almost, this really heavy feeling. You've got this burden upon you. It's a really uncomfortable feeling. You maybe can't sleep. Maybe you can't eat. It's that bad. And you'll have people in your lives, it could be church people or friends or family, will offer advice to you. They say, well, how can the worrying help the situation? What can it do? And of course, that advice is completely right, because the worrying will not help. It won't change the situation. But that advice doesn't help, because you can't control the situation. You can't stop thinking about it. You can't switch it off. But then we come to these words written by Paul to the Philippians, where it says, do not be anxious about anything. So as we come, my first point this evening is we need to come in thanksgiving. We need to come in thanksgiving. We're told here by Paul himself that he's told in everything, in anything, that means anything that we have, we need to bring it to God. We need to petition God with our requests. We come to him in prayer. Bring everything. That means bring anything and everything that you might have on your heart that is causing you worry, anxiety, panic, whatever it might be, is to bring everything. Because everybody deals with anxiety, depression, worry differently. Things that worry me, that will bring anxiety in my life, might not be the same things in your life. Different things trigger anxiety in different people. But we all worry. That's the point we need to strike here, is that we all worry. If it's for small things or big things, we all worry. Paul is acknowledging that here, because he wouldn't say do not be anxious if people weren't being anxious. Paul is acknowledging that here, and he's saying you might be anxious, but you don't need to be. You don't need to be. You don't need to be anxious. Don't need to be anxious about everything. But in everything, doesn't matter what it is, bring it to God in prayer. But bring it to God in prayer with thanksgiving. It says that very clearly in the text. Do not be anxious about everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, you might be thinking, how on earth can I come to God with thanksgiving if I'm going through anxiety? How on earth can I come to God if I'm struggling with a really hard situation, if it be illness or family or work? How can I come with thanksgiving in those situations? Well, Paul isn't saying that we're coming to thank him for the situation. He's not coming to say, thank you, God, for the illness. It might be that within time you might give thanks for the illness because it's led you somewhere. It's led you to be more reliant on God. But at the moment, what he's saying is, he's not saying that you should come with thanksgiving because of the situation. He's saying we should become giving thanks, acknowledging that we can come to God with our worries and anxieties in the first place. He's asking for us to come with thanksgiving because of the position that we have with God, the relationship that we have with God. He's asking us to come with thanksgiving because in the first place we don't deserve to be able to come and ask and pray to God with our anxieties. We're coming in thanksgiving because we need to be completely reliant on God. And we're coming with thanksgiving because we understand, or we should understand, the cost of our salvation. The cost of the very reason we are able to come in the first place and give our anxieties over to Christ, over to God. We must understand our standing with God. And by understanding where we are, our state before God, we see just how much God has done in our lives and what the extremes he went to. We see how much he loves us. I tried to emphasize that point this morning. We see how much he loves us, even though we don't deserve his love. We don't deserve it. We need to understand the cost of our salvation. Must do. That must never become something that we don't understand. If it starts becoming flippant in your lives or you don't think about it, then come back to it. Read Christ's death on the cross, the account. Read it and understand what it meant for Christ to be nailed to that cross. Because when you understand it, when you truly understand the cost of our salvation, that brings with it thanksgiving. And if it doesn't, if you think about the sacrifice that Christ did on that cross and it doesn't bring thanksgiving, then you don't understand it. You don't understand what Christ did on that cross. You see, our basic fundamental position in our lives should be that of giving thanks to God. Should be our basic fundamental position. We owe him absolutely everything here this evening. If you're in Christ, if you're saved, if you're a Christian this evening, you owe Christ everything. Everything. And by understanding that, by knowing that, it keeps our focus on him. You know, this morning we talked about the hope, didn't we? That our hope keeps our focus on Christ. Also, understanding the cost of our salvation keeps our focus on him as well. Because it keeps pointing back to Christ. Keeps us going back to him. See, thanksgiving is the only proper context we can come to God and petition with him with our requests. But giving thanks isn't just saying it, is it? It's more than just a feeling. It's understanding it. It is being aware of our sin, being aware of our rebellion against God, knowing that he didn't need to save us, knowing that Christ didn't need to save us in order to be complete. Christ was complete. God was complete. The Trinity was complete without us. He doesn't need us to fill a void, a hole in his life. He did it out of love for each one of us. But saying thanks, to give thanksgiving, it's not a tick box exercise. You're not coming in your prayers and you almost say the thanks at the beginning. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you for that. And you've done it. You've said it now. It's not like that. It's almost like when we teach our children to say thank you. You know, at the end of everything, if someone gives them a drink or whatever, what you say, you expect them to say thank you, don't you? Maybe even for the first couple of years of their life, they don't understand what giving thanks means or saying thank you. They just know they've got to say it at the end of someone giving them something. But then as they understand, and maybe when they get given gifts, they understand that person giving them that gift has done something. They understand that there's a cost involved. Obviously, with a gift, there's maybe monetary, or if they've made something, there's time. And when they say thank you then, they mean it. There's a big difference there, isn't there? And we need to understand that. There's a big difference for saying thank you and meaning it and not. We shouldn't be saying thank you because we know we should be saying it. See, being thankful to God is a true, real acknowledgement of all that God has done in our lives. Knowing that we haven't done a thing to deserve it or done anything towards it. It's not as simple as coming and saying thank you. It's coming knowing that each one of us is completely reliant on God. What it means is every single time we come, every single time we pray, he's coming on our knees. It's understanding what he's done. It's being humble. Every single time you come into God's presence, it's being humble. We don't always do this, do we? We don't always strike that note when we come to pray, because to pray is hard. To pray is really hard. And sometimes you can't do it, or you lack the words. But we need to come, as we come to pray, we need to strike this note of thanksgiving. It needs to be there. We need to understand and acknowledge all that we have. So when we do come to God with our anxieties, when we come to God with our problems, when we come acknowledging this problem in our life, we bring it to God, being thankful for all that he has done in our lives. That's point one. We should come with thanksgiving. Point two, the protection of God. The protection of God. When we come in this way, when we come with thanksgiving, when we come striking this note, something happens. A direct consequence of bringing our anxieties to God with thanksgiving is that God will give us his peace. God will give us his peace. Our acknowledgement and our complete need of God means that we're coming on our knees knowing that he, only him, is there to help us. Nobody else can help us. You know, I think, well, what is this peace of God? What does it do? Well, the answer is in the text. It will guard our hearts and our minds. And what we need to do is we need to understand the picture that Paul is giving to us here. There's no point just saying it'll guard our hearts and our minds without really understanding it. To guard something is to protect it, isn't it? That's what Paul is trying to say here. A bodyguard, their job, their sole job, is to protect people. It's to keep people safe. They are to look for danger. And when the danger is there, they're either to take the person they're protecting away or to step in the middle between the danger and that person to protect them. Keep that person from harm. Another area we could look at is castles. We're quite lucky in Wales that we've got so many castles that we can go and see. But all the castles you see have got big walls, big defences. And they're there for that, for defensive purposes. They're to stop invaders or to stop sieges from happening. They're there to keep the people inside the walls safe. You can almost say a garrison, it's like an army base. We're garrisoning our hearts and our minds. This is what the peace of God does to our hearts and our minds, but so much more. See, it's God himself who protects us. It's not walls or a bodyguard. It's God himself. He becomes the wall. He becomes the bodyguard. And what he does is stops those feelings, those anxieties getting through. The more that we're resting in God, the more we're coming to God himself, the more this will happen. See, before, the anxiety reigned in our life. That's what took control. That's what reigned. But when you come with thanksgiving, the peace of God reigns. It's the peace of God that reigns. And what makes these words so much more amazing is we are reading a letter from Paul where it says, "Do not be anxious about anything," when Paul is in prison, when the threat of execution is very much real in Paul's life. There could be a knock at the cell door or someone opening the cell door to take Paul away and to kill him. Yet he can write these words. And in our reading, it says also to for joy, about being joyful. Paul was under the threat of execution, yet he can say these words. He can say these words. So when he says, "Do not be anxious," we cannot think that he doesn't know what anxiety is. Because when he's writing this very letter, he knows what anxiety is. He knows what that is. He understands it. But we must understand that the peace of God might not change the situation that we're in. It didn't change the situation Paul was in. He still had that threat of execution over his head. It might not change them. But what the peace of God will do is enable us to get through or cope with what we're going through. The problem might be the same. It might be still there. But we have peace about it. We're able to get through it. We're able suddenly to not be as affected by it as we were before. This peace reigns in our lives. This will enable us to get through it. And we get through it by resting in God. When we pray with thanksgiving, we're trusting in God. We're giving over trust to him. Because God is the only one who is totally trustworthy. It's like with the picture of the bodyguard and the castle. You know the danger's there. If you're at the times when castles were being used and there's a siege or there was a battle that was coming towards you, you could see hundreds, if not thousands, of people approaching your castle. You knew that the defences would hold, or you'd hope they would hold. But in our case, we know the defences will hold. We know that if we are trusting in Christ, then we know that Christ will give us the peace that we need in our lives. But no one can explain this peace that we get. No one can write it down in a book. I'm sure many people have tried. You can't bottle it and sell it. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. Because as in the text it says, this peace of God surpasses all understanding. Surpasses all understanding. It's from God himself. From God himself. You feel protected. I don't know if you've ever gone through this, where there is a massive problem in your life, or it might even be a small problem, and suddenly you thought that you'd never see a way out of it, or whatever it might be, but then suddenly you feel peace. You have prayed and you have asked for God to work in your life to protect you, and you feel this peace. The peace we receive is because of God. It's because of our trust in him. It's our thanksgiving and our praise of him that brings this peace. And this peace that we have, it does transcend our human way of understanding the world. Because it's from God himself. It's from God that we receive it. And the only reason we can have the peace of God is because we've got peace with God. They're two very different things. You know, it talks about in Romans 5, doesn't it, that we're able. Let's see if I can find the readings. I don't know if I marked it up. In Romans 5. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. It's only through being saved, it's only through that we've got peace with God. And it's the only reason we've got peace with God is we can get the peace of God. So a commentator on these very verses said the peace comes through prayer because it's an expression of trust. And God's people do not need to have it all figured out in order to trust him. We don't need to have it all figured out. We don't need to understand the peace to receive it. We just need to know it's there. We just need to trust in it. Because we can't completely, in this life, understand God. We cannot grasp the depths of who God is and his love for us. But we can understand bit by bit, and we can learn more. It's almost as coming in prayer and coming with thanksgiving, it's almost if you go to one of these really famous art galleries and you see these amazing pictures. It's almost like looking at those through size 5-centimeter little window at a time. You know, you go and a little bit is more shown to you each time you go. And then you see more and more of the big picture. It's like that as we come to God. We come with thanksgiving, we come praising him, and he shows us more of himself. And then as we come again, he shows us more of himself. And the picture is shown to us. We see his glory more and more as we come to him. But we need to completely trust in God. Need to come. What God is doing here, what Paul is trying to show here, is how much we need God. We need to rely on him. We need to know his love. We need to know how much he loves us. We need him completely. Not just some of the time, not just in the hard times. We need him every moment of every day, of every year, all the time. If we come acknowledging him in this way, he will guard us. He will guard our hearts and our minds. He'll put these walls up around us, this protection. So when I don't know if you've been through times of anxiety and you've come through the other side, whatever was causing you anxiety has faded or it's been resolved. Your faith in God is so much more. Because to have that peace, you would have relied on God. It makes us come with thanksgiving all the more. It makes us being thankful to him that he didn't just leave us. That he just didn't leave us to get on with it ourselves. That he sent Christ to do it. See, to come in this way, to give this note of thanksgiving means we're giving ourselves over to God. It means we're giving everything over to him. We feel his presence. This is what God is trying to do here. He's trying to show us. He wants us to see that we need him. We need him in everything. And that in turn should make us come in thanksgiving. That's point two. Point three and our final point. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So this protection, this guarding of our hearts and our minds will only happen to those who are in Christ Jesus. As with everything in our Bibles, as with everything, nothing will be possible without Christ. Nothing will be possible without Christ. So when you come to God in prayer, you must remember what had to take place in the first place for us to come like this. We must understand. This should never be complacent. This reality of what had to take place, the cost, should never be complacent in our lives. It should never be. It can't be something that we forget. We're told time and time again, you may have read these verses in your own readings, or these the verses that we're looking at this evening are very famous verses. So you could read over them, and they just could be that, those verses that you read over and over, and they just go over your head. Never take them for granted. It's like when you move to a new house and you look out of your kitchen window or whatever it might be, and you see this beautiful view. It might be hills and mountains or whatever it might be. And maybe for the first couple of weeks, as you come down in the morning to make your coffee, you're blown away by this amazing view that you've got out your kitchen window. But as the weeks and the months and the years go by, that view, still as spectacular as it is, just becomes a view out of your kitchen. You're not blown away by it every time you see it. We should never, never get like that with what Christ did for us. Every time we think of what Christ did for us on that cross, every time we think of it, we should be blown away and humbled and brought to our knees. We must do. Because without that, if it doesn't blow you away, if it doesn't make you have to sit down, doesn't make you want to come and give thanks and praise his name, then you've forgotten the cost of what Christ did on that cross. But here in the text, it's mentioned right at the end, isn't it? In the ESV translation, it's in Christ Jesus. In the New King James Version, it's through Christ Jesus. It's the same. These three words come right at the end. But these three words hold so much significance. Hold so much significance. To be in Christ is new birth, isn't it? It's to be a new creation. It's to be in Christ is protection, as we've seen. We can't approach God in any other way if you are not in Christ Jesus. If you're not in him, we can't approach God. We can't. Without Christ, as we saw this morning, without Christ, we'll be going to an eternal punishment that we do all rightly deserve. We do deserve that punishment. But let us understand what Christ did. He left heaven. He left heaven. He became a man with all the frailties that go with that, so that he could suffer and die. Let's just let that sink in for a moment. Christ, part of the Trinity, left heaven where he'd always existed in this perfect unity of the Trinity, where he couldn't die, took on flesh, made it possible for him to feel pain, anxiety, stress, so that he could take the punishment that we deserve. All that. He did all that so that we could be redeemed. He did all that so he could make it possible for us to have this relationship with God that God created in the first place, but that we spoilt. If you're sitting here this evening and you think that you're not loved, then you're wrong. You are loved with a pure love. You're loved with a love which is so vast that you cannot write it down. You can't put it into words. The way that we are loved this evening is beyond words. Our sin was taken to the grave. As Christ died, it was taken to the grave. And as when Christ was raised, we are raised with him. We're joined with Christ this evening in an unbreakable union. We are part of Christ. Christ's perfect record, his perfect life, is transferred to us. It's imputed righteousness, if you want the technical theological term. Imputed righteousness. We're part of Christ. We're justified. See, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our depravity. He sees Christ. We're clothed in his righteousness. And the other thing that we have got in Christ is we have got full assurance. The hope which we talked about this morning, the hope that is certain and real, is because of Christ. It's because of his death and his resurrection. We've got full assurance that we will go to heaven. Full assurance that we will spend eternity with Christ. And this is available to every single person here this evening. So you think of the gospel as something that we should be taking out to our neighbours, our community. And of course that is right. We should be taking the gospel, this message that Christ has for the world. But as saved people, we need the gospel as much as anyone else. We need it. We need to understand it. You need Christ. I need Christ. Every single person needs Christ in their lives. If you believe that Christ is the Son of God who came to die for our sins, then you are in Christ Jesus. You're in him. Your sins are forgiven, and you can come to your heavenly Father through him. That is what you can do this evening. You are able, through Christ, to bring all your anxieties, all your problems to God. And if the knowledge of that doesn't bring thanksgiving, then there's something wrong. If that understanding of that doesn't bring anxiety, doesn't bring thanksgiving, then there's something wrong and you don't understand it. But Christ knows what it is to feel anxiety. He really does. You might be sitting here thinking, I'm going through a really hard time. And how can Christ know what I'm going through? How can he know? Yes, he died on a cross. Yeah, I can see that. But those little things, those everyday things, he was the Son of God. You know, he knew God intimately. Well, listen to these words just on that Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives in Luke 22. And he withdrew, so that's Jesus, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there approached him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The pressure of what Jesus Christ came to do for each one of us here this evening caused the Son of God to sweat drops of blood. He understood what it was to feel pressure. He probably understood more than anybody what pressure was. Just let that sink in again this evening, that Christ, the Son of God, what he came to do, what we caused him to sweat drops of blood. The very reason he came was to die on a cross for us. And the cost of that was that Jesus sweat drops of blood. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly. The words that are just coming to my head is Hebrews. Some amazing words in Hebrews. Let me find them so I'm quoting them right. I'm sure it's Hebrews chapter 4. Yes, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He went through it all. He knows what it is to feel anxious. He knows what it is to feel everything that we're going through. And he came and did that willingly for you and for me. See, everything we've talked about this evening brings us to thanksgiving in Christ. It has to. Remember what Christ did for you. Remember, he gave everything for us. And we gained everything. We really did. See, we come to God with thanksgiving when we pray. We've said that, don't we? We need to come in that way. We need to strike that note as we come to pray. A direct consequence of coming in that way is that we receive the peace of God. And the only way that we get the peace of God is because we're in Christ Jesus in the first place. And because we are in Christ Jesus is the reason we can come with thanksgiving. Do you see what that means? That it's almost a cycle, isn't it? It means that it's all about God. What an amazing God that we have. It's all about him. It's all about him. And it has to be. Because if we were left to our own devices, well, we can see what would happen if we were left to our own devices. We can see in our society, in our culture, what has happened when people move away from God. We see it becomes all about them and not all about God. And that comes with disastrous consequences. So this evening, if you are in Christ Jesus, you can come and give him all your problems, all your anxieties, and he will protect you. If you're not in Christ, if you're not a saved person here this evening, why not come this evening? Why not come with thanksgiving, acknowledging all that Christ has done for you? Maybe yesterday you didn't believe this, but now, as these words have entered your heart, that you believe it, that Christ, over 2,000 years ago, clung to that cross for you. For you. He went through all that so that we could be saved. He went through all that so that we could bring our anxieties to him. He went through all that so that for eternity we'll be with him, where there will be no more pain, as we saw this morning. No more pain, no more worries. An eternity in complete and utter joy with him. Make it about God in your lives. Make your lives God-centered this evening. Make it all about him. Amen.